You are about to experience Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Fortunately, you are about to hear lots of opinions, but rarely any facts. Impersonations might occur, but good luck trying to figure them out. This program is not intended for kids or the easily offended. Listener discretion is advised. You have been warned. You press play. It's too late to stop. Get ready to podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact, and I got the bad boys here with me. Fellas, it's good to see you again, and it's our three count. This is when we choose just three random stories that kind of popped on the news feed during the week, and we just give our thoughts on what came through. One of the things that popped up earlier this week was from sescoops.com that we got from, and this is and this was titled "Update Regarding the WWE Network Moving to Peacock." I guess that is exciting news for WWE, right? And I guess probably NBC as well, right? I guess the whole idea, right, is WWE sold its network over into to the NBC, and now they have their entire content. Guys, when you heard this happen, was you shocked to hear about this? And how big is this? That seemed like it's going to take place effective about mid March. What's your take?
I'll go.
Yeah.
Honestly, this is massive. The move to a mainstream streaming network, and I didn't think that this would happen. Mm-hmm. But you know, I was looking at some of the terms, and just to realize how much money WWE is getting from this deal is obscene. So, looking at the numbers, it equated down to being about $1,000 that NBC Universal was paying per subscriber over the 5-year period. Wow. They were paying $1,000 to WWE for each subscriber currently on the network.
Wow.
Yeah. It's insane.
So the whole idea now is that we're going to have WWE content along with NBC shows all on this particular platform.
Yeah.
And everything.
And for most cases cheaper than the network.
Mm.
You can get the model for $5.
With ads.
If you're willing to watch commercials.
Yeah, if you're willing to watch commercials, it's $5.
Let me
ask. And you get the WWE network and The Office and everything else. It's pretty fucking awesome for consumers. The other thing that, you know, really can't go unstated is WWE had just brought in Nick Khan as the president and chief revenue officer back in August, and he's already able to land this deal. I think it's pretty safe to say that Nick Khan has a position for life with WWE. Some people are actually even speculating that this move is the beginning of something bigger. Some people are even speculating that this could be viewed in the future as a bit of a down payment on purchasing the company itself.
Mm.
So,
wow.
Well, I did read somewhere that when he joined, he immediately started on this deal. Like, that was his job, was to go right after this. So this has got to be huge.
He's got a job for life. He's set.
Yeah. The biggest thing here is the fact that Bam's contract is up. So when that ends, that's when this new deal starts.
Mm.
The truth of the matter is that Bam is so Bam is the one who set up Major League Baseball Network, the streaming service, the MLB Live, which is a great streaming service. And, you know, they obviously have to pay a lot of attention to that contract. Bam then also got Disney. So Disney, being a newer client and a bigger client, actually made, you know, if you think about it, the WWE kind of become not secondary, but thirdary now, because Disney's like top priority, Major League Baseball's second, and WWE's third. So they weren't necessarily, I can tell from just the way my network has worked over the last, I'd say probably year, maybe year and a half, since they did the new fucking update, which was absolutely fucking dreadful. You can't watch stuff. Like, if you watch one episode of Raw, the next one's supposed to play when you have the mode on for continuous play. There's times that it doesn't fucking do that. It just stops. There's other issues with the playback and stuff like that. And apparently it's not a priority for them to fix. So I think that they probably started shopping. The other thing, too, is the two executives who really were behind the network, they were let go during the furlough in 2020. So bringing in the new guy, I think that it was made a priority to him. Like, we're hiring you. This is your first and foremost fucking priority.
Yeah.
So, and I think that a couple factors, you know, if you think about it, this is one of the really, really, really weird, odd opportunities that we're getting now with streaming services, that Fox's product now in SmackDown will be on NBC's streaming service. So you can see now the lines are starting to fucking blur, and we're going to see this more and more until essentially Disney owns the fucking world. I'm assuming they'll be the winners of all this. But you know, you've got Fox, who's owned by Disney, so Disney kind of wins there. If Steve's indications are correct, it could lean towards maybe even Disney picking them up, or it could lean towards Universal, NBC picking them up, which in turn would lead to them always having some network to be on, whether it's USA for the rest of their, you know, their existence. Hell, you could probably even take one of your shitty networks that is a real low grade network and just make it a television fucking, you know, version of a WWE network. So there's a lot of opportunities here. Very, very smart deal. Very, very, you know, it's funny that there's all this hype about ratings. This just goes to show one more time, ratings do not fucking matter. This is it. I mean, when you have a company that's built up like this, the revenue that you've shown through the history of your company basically shows, and the Universal or USA, you know, tie-in, they've been working with NBC/Universal now for a good, 30 years almost, or whatever it's been, through that whole process of USA turning over and they're being bought up by different companies. So, I just think it's a smart move, because you do realize who this Khan guy is. He's actually, he's a cousin of Danny, or of Tony Khan. And basically, he's, you know, it's a power play. They hired him to bring him in and just destroy AEW by bringing in a Khan. It was the perfect Khan job.
Let me ask you this right quick, Simon Street. I did hear that. See, that's why, so for guys who's listening to this on the podcast, you know, we're sitting back laughing. So it's kind of difficult for you to see when these comments are made like that. We're just sitting back busting up. So you got to sometimes tune in on the video so you can kind of see us just, you know, looking at this fool Michaels for saying the stuff he says. Okay.
But if you're not watching, you're missing out.
You're missing out. Okay.
Especially looking at Simon Street and looking at him to see his mind's going, okay, is it bullshit? Or is it true?
No, I'm just not. I'm just watching you do your art.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you though, Simon Street. I did hear that one thing about the new, I guess, Peacock system they have is that they, I guess one thing we enjoy with WWE is when they have their live pay-per-views, you are able to stop, rewind, playback, all that in the middle during that segment. But their system at the moment isn't set up for you to do that. So you literally have to watch the pay-per-view live. There's no going back. There's no... Now, that feature could eventually come, but they don't have it now. How important do you think that feature is? Or do you think, like Michaels had mentioned, where there were other issues that that WWE just never cared about fixing, do you think NBC might be the same way and go, hey, fuck it, they just need to watch it live. They don't need to have the option of playing back, stopping this, or starting over.
Can I clarify what you just said then, just to let you know for sure?
Okay.
It wasn't WWE who didn't want to fix those issues.
Oh, okay.
It's BAM. It was the service provider.
Sorry about
for
that.
The network.
Thanks for clarifying that. Okay. Still back to you, Simon. Do you think this would be an issue that NBC would want to fix because they don't have that feature that the network has now?
You know, it's in my opinion, you would definitely want to really have that conversation now, because it looks like, for all intents and purposes, when WrestleMania gets here, we're going to be watching it on Peacock. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you right now, with so many eyes that's on there, different time zones, mm-hmm. Different countries. This only takes place in America. So let me correct that. So This is only for, I think everybody else is still going to utilize whatever system they're going to have. But for America, if I live in, you know, New York, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to be waiting. It's still the same thing. Let me retract all that. Only thing I was going to say is I would like it because there's a lot of people who have to work sometimes. And, you know, sometimes I would not want to watch it live. There's certain pay-per-views to where I'm like, shit, I missed the first half an hour. Mm-hmm. Let me just watch it from the beginning and then I'll just be late when it finishes. But
right.
They would definitely want to go ahead and think about adding that. But I don't know. I mean, it's a good deal.
You got to remember, too, the NBC Sports station is shutting down. So if they do retain the contract for NHL, plus whatever other sports that they still have contracts for, then you're pretty much going to be forced into a situation where you have to update your system so that you can, you know, forward, rewind, and, you know, start in the middle of a game or, you know, start from the beginning of a game. I think basically what you're seeing here is NBC just threw down the gauntlet and basically is starting on their existing streaming service their sports network. That's essentially what you're looking at. So, and you got to think about it in the terms of, well, why would they do that? Well, ESPN Plus is part of the Disney Plus package. And if you really want to get fucking confusing and blur the lines, so is Hulu. And Hulu has a lot of the NBC shows contracted, you know, in which that's starting to change now too because of Peacock. So, it's an interesting time to say the least. But one key thing here is that for $9.99 now, now you get commercial free, not only the network, but also Peacock. So you can watch Jim and Pam in their office habitat and go through their romance.
Right.
Commercial free for only $9.99. What was that price again, Steve?
$9.99.
Well, the cool thing is, too, if you are heartbroken recently because The Office left Netflix and you happen to be a wrestling fan, you really didn't lose. You just going to go to a different streaming platform. So I'm happy because I was a little pissed off at first when I heard The Office was leaving Netflix. That's my go-to when I need to go to sleep and I'm drunk.
But isn't hell?
Be real. But then
the more you know.
But their shows are also on Hulu, correct?
Some of them. Some of the contracts. The same thing with Netflix. Netflix has certain shows that you're going to see on Hulu, even Disney Plus, but they have a contract with them.
You know, it's all confusing for me because I just realized that...
You still pay for cable.
Leave me alone. Hulu, Disney Plus, and ESPN has this deal for like $12, right? Here's the problem. I paid the 1 year in advance for Disney, so I have that to whenever they started last year. What was it, June, whatever? So I have that, but then I also play for Hulu. I pay for the $5.99, so I have that with commercials. I want to jump on this whole Hulu Disney ESPN deal, but I'm already paid for the Disney year in advance. So it's one of those things where I'm like, well, do I should just wait till after that's over before I jump? I guess what I'm saying is all these things are becoming confusing. They are becoming better that they are joining because you're having a lot of good options. But once you're in the middle of one of these contracts or whatever your billing cycles, it's just sometimes hard to figure where you jump in to start. You know,
tried contacting anyone about that?
No, I just realized it this past weekend that all three of them were connected. You know, so I pay separately for them.
I would look into it because there should be a way they can rectify the situation for you and, you know, maybe figure out how you pay the difference or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's supposed to be a bundle.
Impact, you wouldn't have to worry about that at all if you had Verizon because you get that with Verizon.
Okay. Let me not think of.
He got his mute. Don't worry, guys.
You know what? He does kind of make a point because, you know, even with T-Mobile, they pay for my Netflix. So it's like if let's say T-Mobile picked up another, let's say they picked up Peacock and they said, hey, we want to pay for your Peacock.
Wait, hold on. Time out. Wait, T-Mobile pays for Netflix?
Right. That's what I was about to say.
Yeah. My T-Mobile pays for my Netflix.
Do you have multiple lines, family lines or something like that? Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I got a daughter, you know, that paid for her.
No. That answered the question.
Is that a forever deal or is it like for a special?
No, it's a forever deal. They basically pay up to I think it's just turned up to $17.99. So they pay literally like more than 80% of what the bill is. So whatever the basic is. Yeah, I mean, and I didn't know about it until I changed my plan to something. I don't know if it's because I have multiple lines. I don't know that.
Yeah, you have to have a family plan.
Is that what it is? Okay. And that makes sense. But yeah, I have the $17.39, but they keep paying for almost 80% of that bill.
Let me ask you guys right quick, because I know you got to jump to the other story. This might not even matter, but in this SE Scoops article, it did talk about that the WWE Network employees were blindsided by this deal. Now, this might not even be something that they didn't really need to know about, but let's just read it and see what your thoughts on it. It did say that in this letter below, it says, myself and my team were completely bulldozed by the press release about Peacock streaming rights to the WWE Network in the U.S., noted a Wrestler Observer source within the WWE Network. Quote, we just had an all-employee meeting last week, and there was zero indication that this would be happening. And while I'm here, I have also heard internally that they're pointing the fingers at social media for the poor ratings, end quote. What's your take on that? Does it matter if WWE, should the network employees should have known about this deal, or you just find out when they decide to want to tell you about it?
Adam Pearce found out that his job got fired this last night while he was sitting on the couch. Why couldn't it be the same for everybody else? Good joke, man. I don't think that they care. I really
I mean, at the end of the day, it's business. It's unfortunate business, and it sucks that we have to say it like that, and that we have to legitimize it. But at the end of the day, they don't care. We're all just numbers on a balance sheet for who we work our shoot jobs for.
Sure.
Well, you got to think of this too. The source is coming from the Wrestling Observer. We don't know who the source within the company was. If in fact the companies were quote unquote blindsided by it, there was nothing that said the employees were working in what capacity of the network.
Right.
So if you got digitizers, if you got guys who program, et cetera, et cetera, there's a lot of jobs that they're not going to lose those jobs most likely because NBC is not going to hire their guys to do that work. It just picks up the contract. Maybe they become NBC employees, but I don't know. It smells like, again, a source who at this point, it could still be Terry Taylor, even though he hasn't worked for the company for how many years?
Gotcha.
He probably still goes, oh, Terry, I'll listen to what you got to say. Give it to me, man. Give me the sugar.
Well, let's go over to the second count. This was from Ringside News, and it's titled, Eric Bischoff Believes Pro Wrestlers Should Be Allowed to Use Steroids. Now, I didn't get a chance to. The link for this site isn't working, but I read pretty much the article beforehand, and from what I was reading, Eric was pretty much saying that steroids should be used because I guess in many ways it shows to be something that is positive, that can help people who actually do need them. If they are prescribed by a doctor, it's something that could help a person doing whatever they may be going through and even may prolong some of their life. With that, knowing that information, he thinks that it should be something that should be allowed in wrestling, and specifically, of course, WWE, who have their wellness program and randomly check those to see, if they are using any of those particular drugs and things. So I'm just kind of curious of your thoughts. Again, we weren't able to quote exactly, but just what you know about steroids itself and how it's just kind of been, we've heard about so many things over the past from those wrestlers who we've lost in the past. And granted, we don't know in what capacity they were using that. Were doctors administering that, or were they doing that themselves, or how much they were doing or what? But based on what you hear, do you guys think that if it is true that steroids is something that could be positive in someone's life and the doctor thinks it's something that can help one, and it's, do you think that should that be something that could be used by wrestlers and not something that they get penalized for? What would be your take on that?
Didn't they already, don't they already allow steroids in a capacity to a certain degree, like cortisone? That's a type of steroid that helps with inflammation. So, I would assume that they allow that. So these tests, I think the big question is, do the tests need to be looked at to include other types of steroids that aid with body repair? I think the steroids that were in question for the longest time were obviously commercial use steroids and body enhancement. Mm-hmm. It's just not every steroid is the same in definition, at least,
Well, I don't think he's saying it should expand to testing for that. I think what he's saying is there shouldn't be any testing in terms of if you are using something that is prescribed by a doctor, which I'm totally fine. My stance on steroids, period, is not going in my body, so I don't give a fuck if you put it in your body, right? And whether that's, sports, entertainment, whatever, mm-hmm. I'm not the one who's sticking it into me. Yes, is it frustrating for people who, go the clean way? Sure. But at the same time, Bischoff's, one of his things he said in this article, mm-hmm. was the fact that actors do it all the time for, gaining 30 pounds. The Rock, look at The Rock. if you look at him in different films, he physically changes because sometimes he's gassing a little bit more. Sometimes he's working out a little bit more where he's cutting weight. Sylvester Stallone got popped in Australia, I think it was, I don't know, about 5-10 years ago in that time frame, for having anabolic steroids on him. And it was like a big, like gasp, like, oh my God, nothing ever came of it. Actors do it all the time. It's done, you know, usually under the eye of some kind of doctor. The reason that they have to have a doctor, and this is what becomes interesting about this theory. If a person signs on to a film, so if The Rock's doing, you know, another Jumanji, the studio has to have insurance on them. And to have that insurance, they have to pass a physical. So for them to be doing some kind of steroids, it can only be administered by a doctor, because if it was found that the actor, you know, died because of, you know, overdoing on steroids and his heart got enlarged or something like that, they won't get the insurance payout. So that's the whole thing. I don't know if you made it legal. I don't know if Vince, the WWE in general, I don't know if they have anything right now that is an insurance on the wrestlers, especially something that would cover to that extent. What also makes it difficult here is the reason essentially that there was a steroid policy in place was because it goes back almost 30 years to the trial that Vince was part of. And they were trying to, you know, bust him for distributing steroids. And then to make things worse, you had Chris Benoit. And at that point, the media ran with this whole idea because certain wrestlers had passed away within the last, you know, 10 years before Benoit, that it was really the steroids that did this. When in truth, it was more so taking shots to your head that scrambled your brain, like football players deal with.
Right.
So what you're looking at is that that drug policy was really tightened up around that time to make up for their bad PR. The biggest thing here is that in general, unless the WWE is doing it under specific doctors and insurance companies, then technically it's illegal. Why is it illegal? And why is that insurance, you know, why is that policy in place for WWE to drug test? It was simply due to the fact that what was happening in the days of the 90s, when steroid use was really rampant, was that guys were getting prescriptions from doctors, and then they were, you know, getting way more product than they should have been getting. And I don't know, man. It's a lot trickier than simply, you know, like Bischoff said, that it can extend their life sometimes.
Right.
It's like, well, yeah, sure, if you're maintaining an injury that you had through steroids. But if you're going out there and you were performing every fucking night the way that these guys used to do, it was A, to help you keep your body in shape, B, to keep you looking good because you need to earn the spot. And everything was about keeping your spot. Plus, those guys were doing coke and alcohol on like a regular fucking basis.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's kind of a weird, almost non-point, but hey, I'd love to see more guys gassed up if in fact that they had no problem using it themselves and the company didn't have a problem with it, then fine, that's your choice.
San City, you have anything you want to add on this?
Yeah, I mean, realistically, I don't think that there's any real way for us to legislate this kind of thing. I mean, It is what it is. We have to stand with how it is right now. Personally, for me, again, looking at wrestling as not a competitive sport, but as a simulation, it doesn't factor in. If they want to do that, then fine, whatever. As long as WWE is not administering it or, you know, providing it to them, that kind of thing. Because ultimately they're not competing, like competing with each other. And I think that that's where a lot of fans, you know, they look at it and it occurs to them that, hey, you know, well, I don't want them doing this. Why? Because they're going to win more matches. Well, they don't decide who wins the matches.
Right.
You know, it's decided for them.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like that. I mean, they're not competing for anything. If they want to, let them. But I think the advancements that we've seen in concussion technology and detection and prevention will be what actually prevents there being another situation like what there was with Benoit.
And the other thing too, really quick, if you think about it, after the steroid trial, when you had guys like Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior, then Vince all of a sudden was going to guys like Shawn and Bret, Austin, then you get The Rock, okay, and then you get Hunter, and then you get Brock Lesnar, and then you get Cena, and then you get Batista, and you just go, come on.
Right.
Yeah.
Come on, man. It's still there. It's still there, but it's very, very limited in the way it's used now.
Gotcha.
I'm surprised you didn't say Jinder Mahal.
Well, I kind of forget he works for them.
That happens. All right, we'll jump over to our third count. Last one. This one is from whatculture.com. It's titled WWE Wrestlers Disagree with The Undertaker's Shoot Comments on Joe Rogan Experience. Now, this happened sometime about a week and a half ago. I'll just kind of read a little bit on what Taker said, and then just kind of mention those that had some objections to that. The first thing he says on the show is that it's tough right now. This is Undertaker speaking. It's tough right now for me to enjoy the product because the product has changed so much and it's kind of soft. I'll probably piss a lot of people off, but they need to hear it. It is what it is. He also goes down and says, that era of guys too, those were men. You go to a dressing room nowadays, it's a lot different. I remember walking into my first real dressing room and I saw some crusty fucking men, right? Like half of them had guns and knives in their bags. And, you know, shit got handled back then. Now you walk in, you know, they're guys playing video games and fucking, you know, making sure they look pretty. It's evolution, I guess. I don't know what it is, but I just prefer, I don't know. I just like those era, man. Those eras, man. I liked that when men were men. Now, of course, when he made that statement, man, that caused a firestorm. Joey Janela has some words. Xavier Woods, okay, this guy, he plays video games. Drew McIntyre had some words. Hey, Roman said he believed he misspoke. How about that? And Mick Foley went to his Twitter and said, no, he think these men are definitely men and tough. What's you guys' take on what Taker say? I mean, do you understand what Taker was saying? And because, hey, we all, of course, we were never in these locker rooms, but of course, we grew up in during the Attitude Era from the things we saw there to how we see things now, and it's night and day. You could kind of understand kind of where he's coming from, but do you think he was right on, or do you think he was off? Do you think, like Roman says, he misspoke, or do you think Taker was right on it and it is what it is?
I definitely don't think he misspoke.
Okay.
I think he said what he said and he meant what he meant, and vice versa, you know, said what he meant what he said. It's ultimately, you know, we are living in a different world now than what we were and when they were running shop back in the Attitude Era. Things change. Life changes. Life changes people. That's the most important thing, is being able to adapt to those changes and be able to even, you know, anticipate them. And when they happen, revitalize yourself.
Right. Yeah.
So, and unfortunately, it appears that, you know, for better or for worse, that he's not happy with the status of the product. And I'm not saying that he's not adapting or anything of that nature, but we all have preferences. We all have things that we like. We all have, you know, pain points with the shows.
Yeah.
We're all able and entitled to our opinions, and we're able to express those opinions.
Yeah.
So that's all that he was doing. And you can't really fault him for voicing his opinion the way that he did.
Simon Street, I mean, hey, man, you like playing video games. I mean, I would think that you're very manly and not soft. I don't know. When you hear his comments like this, would you understand where Joey Janela, Xavier Woods, Drew McIntyre, Roman Reigns, Mick Foley, would you understand where they're coming from, or would you still have to side with Taker on this?
I mean, there's always truth to almost everything. There's some truth. Almost everything, and I think that his statement did ring true in two points in my mind. Number one, the era that he grew up in, times were different, just as Sin City Steve just said. But I think also too, you have to realize what it means to be tough is more than just being masculine. And I think that in this time, in this age, that is displayed differently. Not to say that, you know, somebody that's like a Stone Cold Steve Austin that comes in with broken glass and ready to stun everybody and get a couple of beers isn't just as masculine as someone that plays video games but handles business in that ring or wherever in life. I side a little bit with how Roman said it. I think that he misspoke. I do think that that is something that even outside of The Undertaker, many men in his age have had that conversation even about the ring outside. It's no secret. You know, there's a large amount of men who coordinate their ensemble when they wake up in the morning, that of what women have traditionally done. And that doesn't take away with how tough they are and how much grit they may have. They just happen to do it a little bit flashy. But playing video games and whatnot should never really determine whether someone's tough or not. It's situations that they're in. And that part that Undertaker did say, there are some times where not just anybody can do a hardcore match. You see what I'm saying? And for me, there are certain people that if you told me in a hardcore match, okay, this person is totally the embodiment of tough, regardless if, you know, they have coordinating shirts and sweaters and shoes, or if they're just, you know, had knives in their bags with guns, you know. I think he just misspoke. You know, everybody's opinion, I still love The Undertaker. I think even when I was reading many of those tweets and responses, they didn't really seem so much anger behind it, because I think they all love The Undertaker. I hope he gets an opportunity to kind of, you know, set the record straight of what he probably meant. Maybe more context, maybe. I don't know.
You know, Matt Michaels, and part of what Roman Reigns said is, you know, hey, man, you can't go through TSA with guns and knives. You're gonna get hit. But you know, let's be real. I mean, interestingly enough, that's nowadays. I'm sure those days, first off, most of those guys probably wasn't even flying. You know, you were driving from town to town. You were staying in probably some shady spots that you know, you just trying to get a cheap room because you're trying to make a dollar. It's definitely a different time. What would you say about this? Would you agree with what Taker says, or you will point, you know, look at agree with some of these other wrestlers had to say against it?
So first things first, you're absolutely right in terms of travel. Specifically in Undertaker's comment, Mark says, when I was first starting out. When he was first starting out, he was wrestling in the South and he traveled by car just like everyone else did in territories. From all accounts, back then, like, Harley Race probably showered with a gun on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Like, so what I think that it's kind of getting blurred here is the comments being interpreted as their wrestling skill set.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think that some of the guys were interpreting it as, because we play video games, we're soft in the ring. I don't think he's saying that at all. What he's saying is the culture that he grew up in was very, very, I guess the best way to put it is, who's got the bigger cock, right? Everyone is fucking just, you know, going to show you that they're the fucking boss, right? You don't fuck with me. Everyone was out. Listen, Brody got fucking murdered in Mexico, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know damn straight, in the late 80s, early 90s, a lot of guys were probably protecting themselves because of that high exposure of that type of thing. You're also forgetting the fact that back then, fans would try to shiv you, try to shoot you, try to hit you with batteries and acid and all types of shit, man. They fucking slash your tires if they knew your car, if you were a heel.
Mm-hmm.
So in some ways, you're talking about the thickness of skin and how it is in a locker room. And I think what he's saying is that that was the culture of how it was for him, right? And The Undertaker was a locker room leader. So therefore, basically, I think what he gets to is that he became a leader because of the toughness of everyone else around him. Right? Mm-hmm. That made him step up his game so that he was, you know, he was someone that would earn respect. And that was all really what you're talking about. I think nowadays in the locker room, respect kind of can be earned by guys having, you know, huge contracts or, you know, other things. And the fact of the matter is that we don't know if Mark would have been playing video games if today's technology was back then and if the locker rooms were like that when he got into the business, you know?
Yeah.
So really, it's literally a generational gap. And, you know, he says this about, you know, being tough and etc. Well, I'm sure too that there were numerous people that he came up with or that were already established when he was around getting into locker room that probably used some very colorful language to describe black people and Mexicans and right. You know, and gay people. Listen, Pat Patterson, man, you know, you talk about a gay man who had to keep that closeted for most of his career. Because within your own locker room, you could be, you know, fucking attacked for being a gay man.
Yeah.
So there is a lot more that goes into that. And, dude, you know, everyone fucking tries to make their own headlines by pulling out that shit.
Yeah.
Do I think he needs to apologize or whatnot? No. He's Mark Calloway. He's the fucking Undertaker.
Right.
What are you going to, you know?
Right.
So
he was aware he's going to get flack from it. So
he, let's put it this way. He is one of the smartest guys. He's just breaking the kayfabe now.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that he knows damn straight that anything he says, people are going to listen to. So, you know, whether it was misunderstood, well, that might just be part of the guys just not, again, getting that culture, knowing that, you know, not knowing that he doesn't necessarily get that culture and whatnot. But I don't think anyone would literally take it as to the point of cancel Undertaker.
Right.
You know?
I would hope not.
Yeah.
We just got him talking. I don't want him to stop talking.
Exactly.
Long time, please. Show me that toughness and just be, look, I said what I said. I'm not going to apologize. It's how I feel. I'm not persecuting nobody. It's just my opinion because I love hearing the Undertaker talk about stories. This is the first time account shit he's been telling us.
And you brought up a really interesting factor, and that is, you know, there are only a handful of people that can seriously, whether it be maybe CBS Sports, Sports Illustrated, not ESPN, because ESPN was butt sore over the deal with Peacock, so ESPN's not giving them a good press anymore. But legitimate reporters who could actually have an interview with The Undertaker to ask him that follow-up without having Mark to just come out and do it on his own, right? So technically, Mark really doesn't have to say anything because the thing that, you know, even though it was Joe Rogan and it's mainstream, the only one this is really affecting is those people around the industry, fans, people in the business, etc. So if you don't have even like a real news source, then you're not going to have reporters shoving microphones in his face to tell us why you said this.
True.
You know, right. And then I want to see the reporter who has the balls to go up to The Undertaker,
right,
and say, why did you say this?
It's only one person that can actually ask that question, and that's Stone Cold Steve Austin. On next time he comes on the podcast, if Stone Cold's the only person that can ask him that.
Yeah, I would say that Stone Cold and just a very small amount of people can actually ask that. Otherwise, you know, again, it's kind of one of those stories that because it was on Joe Rogan's show, a lot of people did listen to it.
Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't The Undertaker and it wasn't Joe Rogan's show, if it was, you know, Ricky Tenacious on this show saying something.
Yeah, you know, Ricky.
And whatever.
From our comments, Mike commented. He said they're a little bit of quote okay boomer end quote with the Taker's comments, but I think there's a different world now with technology, how to pass the time, etc. So
yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah,
that's fair. And listen, too, the other thing that we know about someone like Mark that we don't even have to listen to him talk to understand. He was a biker guy. So a lot of his spare time, and he probably was reading about bikes and fixing motorcycles and, you know, doing that kind of shit, you know, in his spare time. So he probably never got into Grand Theft Auto, you know?
Right.
You know what? You make a good point, Matt Michaels, because when you think of passing the time, what's different is when you hear a lot of the wrestlers that, you know, from Mark Calloway's time, a little bit further, their spare time after, like if they wrestled somewhere, they were at a bar drinking, and that's how they spent the time. A lot of these younger cats nowadays are doing what I'm doing. We unwind, you know, play video games and whatnot. I guarantee these guys are drinking a lot less than, you know, what they did, you know, a long time ago. And like I said, it's just the world and the scenery has changed.
The other difference too is if you want to bring up video games, you do understand that Andre the fucking Giant, if you want to look to locker room leaders and guys who really respect it, all Andre did was literally play cards and drink, you know, a fucking bar full of alcohol, but they played cards, man. Patterson, Andre, the whole, I think a lot of the Bones crew, you know, Godfather and Savio and those guys, I think they actually got to know each other because they played cards all the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, real quick before we move on, this rarely ever happens, Impact. And since Steve, you may have not caught it, Matt Michaels was actually wrong with some facts. And I just want to take an opportunity to correct it.
What?
You said Brody died in Mexico or was murdered in Mexico. That is incorrect. He was murdered in Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Died in Puerto Rico. So I just wanted to correct you. It rarely ever happens.
Yeah. And you know what? Going back to the whole comment about guns and knives, I would tell you that I know that the wrestlers also have to go through metal detectors, just as people who come into the arena have to go into there. So you're not walking in there with just a bag full of ammunition. You're going to get caught before you get in. So that has changed as well.
But and that was a poor choice on his words.
Yeah.
Because I think everyone's focusing on this, like, guns and knives equal toughness.
Right.
It's just the truth of the matter is that that is what you found in that generation. If you go into the locker room now, the question is, how do you determine the toughness? And to be quite honest, it's in the ring, you know?
I mean, hey, look, you know, one thing we kept talking about was the video games, but he also said that, you know, he's also mentioned that people were making sure they look pretty. You know, there was a time where, you know, most of these guys we watched, it looked like they just, you know, came from home, walked in, and went right to the ring. You know, nowadays, the guys are now like they got all made up, hair all wet and ready, and they, you know, just ready to come out like they're ready to shoot some sort of a model pose or something. So, but that still doesn't mean that they're not manly, you know.
Right, and what's really fascinating about that is the fact of the matter is, look at it. If you go back to when Taker started and was wrestling through the years, there was a lot of beautiful people. Let's just take The Rock for fucking sake. You don't tell me that Rocky didn't take a couple looks in the mirror to make sure his eyebrow was going up right, you know, before he walked through the curtain. Exactly. That dude was wearing fucking silk shirts, you know, and shit like that. So I think that is, again, what it comes down to, too, is you're dealing with a guy who was born and raised in Texas, and a lot of the perceptions that he learned growing up through the 70s into his, you know, teenage and 20 years into the 80s was, you know, a lot of perspective now that is not looked at as very, you know, opening to, you know, whatever it might be, whether it is, like I said, you know, a lot of those guys were racist. A lot of those guys were homophobes.
Right.
And by God, I would never want to accuse The Undertaker of being such, but that line of thinking of what tough was versus what is tough is considered today.
Yeah.
Is probably, you know, along the lines of what Roman said, is he might have misspoken.
Right.
But in all honesty, he didn't misspeak. It's just this is the way that he speaks.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's pretty funny too. Is the last commercial that Undertaker was in? He was playing a video game with his for the that wrestling game. I'm laughing because I mean, I'll say this: Kevin Owens, he plays video games, and that's a tough SOB. You know what I'm saying? Big E plays video games. He's a tough SOB.
Well, we know Big E looks in the mirror before he walks out, man.
Oh yeah,
he's primp, man.
Yeah. Hey, man, good stuff, guys. We had a really good conversation on our three count tonight. Thank everyone for listening. We're gonna go right into our final thoughts for tonight, and we'll go from there. So, Simon Street, what you want to tell the folks out there?
You know what? Thank you so much for supporting us. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to, you know, do our thing. And if you're entertained, you know, tell a friend, you know, how much you're entertained, and invite them to share the happiness that we provide for you every Sunday. And so we can keep growing. Other than that, everybody be safe out there. And you know, be good to one another as best you can.
No doubt. Sin City.
Thank you guys for hanging out with us in the chats. Your messages, your likes, all that stuff is awesome. We do this for you. So thank you to everybody that also popped into the chat tonight. We're there. I'm going to be there every pay-per-view going forward. So I don't want to make any you know, bookings for the other guys, but we'll try to be in the chat room for every WWE show, every WWE pay-per-view. So yeah, come in, hang out with us. It's a good time. Also, thank you to all of the brave men and women serving our country on lands both foreign and domestic. Thank you so much for everything that you do. Mm-hmm. And also, last but not least, repsports.com. Go there for all of your pre-workout, weight loss, energy needs. And repsports, REPPsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 15%.
Perfect. And just so you guys know, when he talks about being in the chat, that is through our app. So if you have your iOS, Apple phone, or your Android phone, just go to your app store, put in Vegas Bad Boys with a Z to separate Vegas and Bad Boys. You will see the app pop up. Download it. It's a free app. It just allows you just to kind of keep up with our podcast. But we also have real-time chats in the air, and we got different rooms you can go into. And if you just want to let off some steam on something you saw on TV, just go in there and let it off. You never know when we would be in there, too, just to let off some steam as well. We were on the chat tonight during the Royal Rumble. It was great. We had quite a few people to come in and say a few things. So download the app. It's free. It's definitely something that that we want you guys to do just to be close with us. Matt Michaels, final thoughts.
Yeah, if I'm the WWE, I go 100% behind the Ric Flair and Lacey storyline. Give me a sex tape, please. I want to know what the Natchez at 71 years old that Lacey finds so enticing. So, hey, you know, I remember there was a GTV surveillance, and then there was a surveillance by some guy who might have been Mustafa or not, Ali or not. So, you know, if you just happen to have one of those, or even better, WWE, please, please, just send a cameraman to a hotel room with them and have the camera there, like filming like it's a backstage segment. And, you know, and maybe I know he doesn't work for them, but Marvez can maybe walk into the bedroom and try to interview them while they're having sex.
I didn't know it's the robe on the whole time.
Yeah.
It was funny because King tonight was kept saying, you know, I don't know why Charlotte is just being disrespectful to her dad. King is awesome. He's the ultimate heel commentary still. He still knows how to sell it well.
Yeah, especially talk about the cuddle calling the pot black.
Exactly.
Jerry's girlfriends are probably
right.
Yeah, way younger than Lacey.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, ain't no hate on that at all, man. If you of age, man, shout out to all the men that's 50 plus with young 30-year-old girlfriends.
Well, there you have it. Hey, also, if you want to donate in any way, feel free to do that. If you got the Cash App, our tagline is just Vegas Bad Boys with a Z. You can send anything you want, $1, $10, $100. We're just going to take that money you send and help promote Vegas Bad Boys all throughout the world so they can get a chance to enjoy the same thing that you enjoy when you listen to us. So it really helps us, and we appreciate you for definitely downloading, watching us live, or sending in Cash App, or downloading the app. All those things are for you. We really do appreciate it. We want to thank everybody for listening tonight. Don't forget that the Falco Files is on Wednesday, and every Friday we have a different wrestler, someone you may know or may not know. But if you don't know them, it's a good chance to get to know them because they're working their ways up into the industry, okay? With that, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Peace.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.